Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast, an intelligent, imaginative, hospitable exploration of ideas that matter in contemporary life. And now, here's your host, Dick Staub.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another encore presentation of The Dick Staub Show, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers about their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with Bob and Melinda Blanchard about their book, A Trip to the Beach. Well, this is Dick Staub back with you, and I've been looking forward to visiting with our next friends, both because I need a vicarious trip out of the soggy, gray-skied Northwest. And reading the book, A Trip to the Beach, just brings back all those wonderful memories of wonderful summers on Lopez Island out here in the Northwest. And we, you know, even when we lived in Chicago, we'd come back and go out to Lopez in the summer and kind of had these idyllic moments out there. I often thought about actually trying to figure out if I could do a broadcast from Lopez. And I told that to Peter Mayall, who wrote the book A Year in Provence. And I remember Peter saying, "You must do it! You must do it!" And he told me we could get a bed and breakfast going, and authors would stay at the bed and breakfast and come on the show. I mean, this is the craziness that has occupied my idled, the vast wasteland otherwise known as my mind. So if you've ever thought about selling it all, moving to a remote island, to a simpler life and saner times, our next guests tell a story that you need to hear. They left Vermont for an adventure on the island of, and I forgot to ask him, Anguilla.
Perfect.
And they actually lived to tell the tale. They are Melinda and Robert Blanchard. Their book is A Trip to the Beach, which People Magazine describes as a beach book to savor. And if you, I don't even know what a beach book is. There must be a whole genre of literature that I'm not totally familiar with. But it's nice to have you with us.
Well, thanks. Oh, it's
nice
great
to be here.
So there you were in Vermont, fresh off a frustrating business venture, as I take it. You kind of have done had some entrepreneurial ventures of my own. I know how those go. You decided no more partners. We want to do something different. The phone rings, and it is an urgent call from Mac Pemberton, a taxi driver who would not normally be thought of as the primary source for business negotiations. Nevertheless, we're not talking about normal people here anyway. So tell me why you were ready to leave Vermont, and what was this remarkable opportunity?
Mac Pemberton had been our taxi driver in Anguilla when we were down there on vacation. We had gone for several times and fell in love with this island. Anguilla, just so you know, is teeny tiny. Yeah. It's 16 miles long, 3 miles wide at its widest part, yep, and has only 10,000 people, 4,000 of whom are of working age.
Wow.
A lot of kids.
Wow.
And Mac would pick us up at the airport, drive us around, take us to the beach, take us to our hotel.
Now, how did you find the island in the first place?
Through friends. We were getting pretty burned out from a business. We had built a specialty food business that started in our home and grew so fast.
Yeah.
And we had distribution all over the country and, in fact, exported to Europe as well. And we liked it when it was small.
Yeah.
You know, we liked it when we could deal with people and talk with the mom-and-pop specialty stores. And
yeah,
once we were reading balance sheets all day long, it wasn't for us anymore.
It also moved from the specialty stores and department stores into supermarkets.
Yeah.
And the supermarket business is just an entirely different
ball game. Just grinding
ball game.
Slim margins.
Yeah,
and
slim margins
else.
And lots of payoffs, basically. You have to buy the shelf space in the supermarkets to get your products in there. And, you know, that's not a very...
So the business isn't fun anymore, but what was it that had actually led you to believe that you might want to move and live in your idyllic Caribbean island setting, as opposed to just, you know, visit longer?
We had always joked, like everyone probably does, you know, when they're on vacation, "Oh, honey, what would it be like to stay here?"
Yeah.
And we got serious about it once, and we said, "Well, why not?"
Now, had you really thought it through seriously?
I think we had, actually. We did quite a lot of research on it before just sort of picking up and moving there. I mean, we'd been to the island for 4 or 5 years on vacation a number of times a year, sometimes, I guess, maybe 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And really, you know, met a lot of people, and we didn't just stay in the hotels. We went out and trucked around.
You know? What'd you like about the people there when you'd visit there?
Oh, the people are just amazing. I mean, it's very different from other Caribbean islands, I think.
There's no big cruise ships stopping
there. There's no cruise ships at all.
No cruise ships. No gambling.
No gambling. There's no crime. There's no unemployment. There's no taxes. There are no racial issues.
No taxes. That sounds like a Vermonter right there, doesn't it? Because I keep asking myself, the people I knew in Vermont and New Englanders are not the kind of people that just recklessly pull up stakes and head on out.
No, we're a pretty conservative bunch. But, you know, we tend to do things, we choose our careers by lifestyle as opposed to exactly what kind of job we're doing. In other words, you know, we like to live where we enjoy it. We like to work with the people that we choose to work with instead of someone that we might feel stuck with.
Okay. Somebody recently called us lifestyle entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Which I think is
kind
a great
building
term.
Building your entrepreneurial venture around a lifestyle.
I mean,
that you
I think where we work and what we do and who we do it with is more important to us.
Although,
than
if I read your book correctly, A Trip to the Beach, your original vision was kind of a little non-demanding stand by the beach. So
it
that,
was.
You know, kind of let's go down and we'll be kind of reading Moby Dick like the guy that gave us this vision.
Right.
And we'll just have a nice time and we'll sell an occasional, you know, something and it'll be nice. It'll be laid back.
One of the first times we went to the Caribbean, we went to another island. It was Barbados, actually.
Yeah.
And we found this guy selling burgers on the beach. And he had no employees. He had a charcoal grill going. And he actually gave you raw hamburger patties.
You had to cook it yourself.
You cooked yourself. And I remember thinking,
no, that's
you know, this
back.
Guy was literally sitting in a chair on the beach with his feet propped up on the cooler with the beers and the sodas in the cooler and the hamburger patties.
And making you cook your own meal and
you,
charging you exorbitant prices.
You give the guy
prices.
A lot of money and
oh,
then
it's
he,
a fortune.
He hands you these frozen hamburger patties and points at the grill.
Now, I mean, in the book you said he sold you a frame of mind. Now, what did you mean by that? What was it about that kind of
you
captivated
know,
you?
It was the fact that I think we were struck by the fact that here we had started this business in Vermont in our home, you know, making salad dressings in the blender. And 5 years later, we had 100 salesmen on the road, and we had this huge factory with high-speed production lines and I don't know how many employees in the factory. And we were just tearing our hair out. We had investors in New York and, you know, big loans and debt and balance sheets and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we go down there, and here's this guy sitting on the beach reading a book, you know, making a living, doing nothing, basically.
The simplicity of it.
The simplicity of it was just an amazing thing. And so it was really a frame of mind.
So Mac, the cab driver, calls up, and he's got a remarkable opportunity for you.
Right. Well,
and you got right on a plane and went down
there.
I mean, what was the opportunity that he described?
Within 24 hours, we were on a plane. Mac had known from our previous visits that we were sort of dreaming about going down and opening sort of a casual beach bar. Nothing fancy, not a big-time restaurant. I had envisioned never wearing shoes again. I thought that was
you
it,
go.
You know, just never wear shoes.
You know, we thought Melinda would cook and I would be, I'd have a little bar in the front and serve the drinks and serve the food to the people, take the orders and she would cook and it would be just the two of us.
Play
yeah,
a
mom
little
and pop.
Island music,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, just play some Jimmy Buffett, you know.
As low key as it can get.
Cheeseburgers in paradise,
yeah.
you know.
So Mac called and said, okay, you got to get down here. I found a place. It went out of business. You can buy it. You can make a deal with the bank.
And it was a little shack.
It was a little shack.
It
had been a restaurant. Yeah. Didn't do well. And the guy left. And there it was, deserted.
Yeah.
So Mac called us right away. And he said, it's going to happen fast. You better get right down here.
Yeah.
So we got right down there. And he took us literally from the airport to the location.
Yeah.
We looked at it. It's on Meads Bay, which is a beach. Yeah, it's like the cover of the book.
Yeah, and I've got the map in here.
It is, Anguilla is a coral island, which means that the sand is extra, extra white.
Yeah.
Instead of the volcanic islands, it gets a little darker.
Yeah.
This sand is truly like flour.
Okay, we got to take a break. We're going to be back with Melinda and Robert Blanchard, two wild-eyed lunatics from Vermont. Join us next time for a continuation of our conversation with Bob and Melinda Blanchard about their book, A Trip to the Beach. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's K-I-N-D-L-I-N-G-S. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.